Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is František Vlček. I am the deputy director of the Czech Accreditation Committee, one of the accreditation bodies in Czech Republic. And I just have a few slides to complement Basha's presentation because she was more concentrated on the international coordination. And I just like to pinpoint a few problems and challenges and maybe some of the good choices that we have made and some of the bad choices that we have made in the past 3 years. So that maybe those who sit in the room and are planning on organizing such a tremendous research or something similar might take some lessons from it, hopefully. I will, of course, give you some overview of Czech Republic and the accreditation of quality management in Czech Republic. Definitely like to go back and ask myself a question, you know, what is the prerequisite? What do you need as an organization and as a person to be able to achieve data collection and to participate successfully in such a project? And then, just for the time constraints, I chose two critical points that I think were those that made the biggest influence on the actual outcome of our work in Duke. Czech Republic is a small country. We have just 10 million country. We have just 10 million citizens, but we have many hospitals. We have 180 hospitals. We have more than 60,000 beds, which is one of the largest number of beds in Europe. And we have many discharges. We have many hospitalizations in acute care organizations, which is of course causing us a lot of problems, you know, in the financial side and so on. Just to give you an overview of what is the actual cost of Czech healthcare. And just to pinpoint one of the biggest problems that we're facing, you know, compared to other countries in the world, is the highest number or one of the highest numbers of consultations per person, which is 3 years ago, it was more than 12. We are down to 10, which is still not quite an achievement. Czech Accreditation Committee is actually going to celebrate 15 years in May 2013. Our scope of services, we are mostly directed to accreditation consultation. We have a lot of education and teaching activities and of course participate in domestic and international research. We are currently operating three sets of standards and accrediting organizations all over the country according to standards for acute inpatient hospitals, long-term and follow-up care inpatient and outpatient health services as well. We have 74 accredited organizations, which in acute care beds, it's more than 50% of acute care hospital beds are actually located in Czech Republic, are actually located in accredited organizations by us. We are still very small in the revenue. We only have about half a million euro turnover. What, looking back, what might be the actual advantages or prerequisites for success, as well as some drawbacks and weaknesses that I noticed throughout our participation in the project? Well, first of all, even though we are very small, we are very recognized organizations. We have many hospitals that are accredited or participate in any of our training or teaching activities. We have many cooperations or many places where we cooperate with the local governments and Ministry of Health. We do, as not the organization, but the actual people who work for us have usually academic backgrounds. They teach in universities. So many of the people who actually cooperate with us in the project were the students of these of my colleagues in the organizations. And also personal relations. You know, I have been to 70 different hospitals in Czech Republic as a consultant or surveyor, and we have 50 surveyors and consultants who are all usually employed in healthcare organizations as quality improvement managers or people who actually work in the clinical field. So most of these people were also trained in the quality management area were trained by our organization, so we had a lot of personal relations. So basically when recruiting the hospitals, there was always one or many, usually many people that we could approach in a, you know, in a personal way and ask them if they could push or if they could do something about making the hospital participate in the project. Of course, we are an external evaluator. and the hospitals don't like to see our people, you know, sneaking around in an unscheduled survey, in a visit that is not actually scheduled as a normal survey. So some of the hospitals' motivation was not to let us actually see other results or collect other data than during the actual surveys. Of course, because we're a small country and those people who are involved in quality management are usually somehow involved with quality management in the hospital level or with us or with the competition. So it was actually quite difficult to find someone, especially for the external visits, who would not be in conflict of interest by doing the external visit in the hospital. By being there as a surveyor for check accreditation or as a consultant or actually working for the hospital. And it was the study design itself. Of course, you know, in a nutshell, it was too much music for too little money. And then when I say money, I just don't mean the financial reward, but the actual motivations for the hospitals to participate. So that's why one of the critical points was the hospital recruitment. And this, in a nutshell, was our strategy when we were recruiting the hospitals. We were just not trying to hide anything. We were just, saying, you know, these are the prerequisites that we're coming from. Actually, saying we have the luxury of 51 hospitals meeting the inclusion criteria, so we could afford to have some dropouts at the beginning. And also, and it has been said by Baja as well, you know, training when you have a dropout and sometime any time after the training and any time after some data has already been collected, it takes a tremendous amount of work to replace the hospital, because you have to do all the training with just a single person and then recollect the data and just go through all the administrative procedures. So that we just didn't want to do that. We knew from the beginning this is not what we want to do. So in the recruitment letter, it was rather discouraging. We were basically saying, this is going to be really hard. You know, we're offering you to participate in something that is not going to be easy. And all we can do is maybe give you some results and comparison and some feedback on how you're doing, and maybe give you a little money for just basically cover for the time that you have invested into the work. And it paid off. It would pay off, because in the hospital coordinators training, we were very clear on what kind of demand we're going to have. So, in the end, I think we were very lucky with the recruitment, because we had 53 hospitals meeting the inclusion criteria, but two of them were very passive in other research projects, so we decided to actually take them from the list before the actual sampling. We addressed 30 hospitals in the beginning, and only 6 hospitals refused before any training started, and 2 more hospitals refused after the initial training. But that was not from losing the interest or restructurization or anything. Just one hospital changed the scope of service and was no longer, no longer met the inclusion criteria. And there was actually one change in leadership who refused to participate because they were afraid. Something that didn't have the information, because the previous leadership just failed to pass the nature of the participation to them, and they were kind of worried about what's going on. Then we had 4 hospital coordinators training, the last of which was training 17, 9, and then 4 people from the hospitals who were actually supposed to be the contact person vis-à-vis hospital coordinators, and then the 2 replacements in the next sessions after the 2 refused after the training. But then we had absolutely no dropouts, in the course of the study, which was very important, because we really didn't have to do any extra work, which was really voluminous in the training and time consuming. I cannot say that this is valid data, but it's really not coming from non-standardized interviews with the people, with the HCs, the hospital coordinators that we trained. And we asked them, why are you here? Why are you doing this? And, if you go down, from the most significant to the least significant, you can see them on the slide. It was definitely they were longing for some data, for some actual tangible and valid data that would tell them about how they are doing compared to others. Of course, they were using, and was discussed here before, they were using evidence-based QI tools, and they could actually implement some of those into the quality management in their own hospitals, and that's, of course, a very good added value. Recognition, so-so. Experience and inspiration, again, not very attractive for them as a motivating factor. And the money was travel and networking was actually the least, motivating factor for them, because it was just a compensation of the time investment that they made. So we just basically, this is mostly the answer we got, but I think the hospital recruitment was what we actually needed, what was the most crucial point in the whole country coordination. The staffing was, of course, the other one. And I will not speak so long about the staffing, but here are just some staffing challenges that we had. You know, it was, of course, low budget. It was a constant availability kind of work, so that, you know, you have to be on the email, you have to be on the phone, you have to be ready to respond in some time frame to different stimuli from the central office or from the hospital coordinators. It was seasonal work. There were times that all of us who were engaged in the study would be working full-time, doing something, usually translations, by the way. But there were times we were just waiting for work, you know, and there was not really much to do in Duke, and we could pay attention to our other agendas. So basically, it would really go from 0 to 100 in just one day, and you would have to be prepared for that. Of course, that the professional competence was part of the job, but a lot of the job was actually secretary work. So how do you deal with that? You know, you don't want to waste someone who's really skilled in some area to just check the tokens in the back office. You know, most of you don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm sure that you will. So basically, we just decided to go with two tremendous medical students who are sitting in this room, which is Teresa Grezlova and Michalek. Together, they were actually finishing their second year in medical school when we recruited them. They are now in the middle of their fifth year studies. And this was the basic arrangement that we had. And when I just look at the structure, you know, there was just the three of us. I'm the one in the top square. But then these are basically the competencies or responsibilities. And if you go from up down, basically more of that on the top would be my responsibility. And as you go down, it would be more responsibility of my two colleagues. But I have to say, we were interchangeable in any kind of the task. So there were times when they had to attend a meeting, a Duke, you know, when there was some like research tools communication or development meeting. I just couldn't go, so they would go with me. And of course, they would go for me. And of course, there were times that I was doing the secretary work because they were doing their exams, you know, in their midterm in the medical schools. So, but basically, the reason I'm saying this, because again, I think this was one of the, I don't know what we're doing, you know, it was just an attempt. But I think this was working very well. And again, I'd like to use that as a tip for future. You know, this was an arrangement that actually saved us a lot of worries. Country coordination is 10% brain, 90% routine. If the study design, the necessary data collection, tools, the organization structure, the logistics and means of communications are developed thoroughly and in a realistic and comprehensive manner. And that's what I think the central office, the Duke core team has done, and made our job actually really just no-brainer. And let me take this opportunity to express my gratitude to them for that. And, you know, giving the answer to would you play again, of course. Of course, we're looking for it.